If you have your Bibles tonight, 1 Chronicles chapter number 13. These verses, at least in part, were covered in Sunday school not long ago, and I'm not trying to repeat anything that's been said or done. But these kept coming to my heart, and a thought kept stirring in me in these verses. And I trust that the Lord will help us. And my mindset in my heart is still toward the home. We preach, it's not being what most preachers would consider a series, and I've not aimed for it to be so. Just knew that the Lord had stirred in my heart about the need for preaching on the home. We tried 2 weeks ago to preach about the warfare against the home, and certainly there is great warfare against the home. We preached last Wednesday night, the Lord helped us about seeking God for our children, our homes and families, and others that need Him in these days. And I want to look at these verses tonight, if the Lord would help us, and try to preach what He's put on my heart for the service tonight. 1 Chronicles chapter 13, when you found your place, if you're physically able, I know we just sat down, but if you'd stand please out of reverence and honor to the reading of the Word of God. I want to read the entire chapter here, 1 Chronicles chapter 13. I know that we read over these in Sunday school, like I said, not long ago, but maybe some of you weren't here. I want to set the stage and make the context clear about what's happening. 1 Chronicles 13 and verse number 1. And David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, with them also to the priests and Levites, which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us. Let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. And all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. So David gathered all Israel together from Shaul of Egypt even unto the entering of Hamath to bring the ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim. David went up and all Israel to Bala, that is to Kirjath-Jearim, which belonged to Judah, to bring up thence the ark of God the Lord, that dwelleth between the cherubims, whose name is called on it. They carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drave the cart. And David and all Israel played before God with all their might, and with singing, and with harps, and with psalteries, and with timbrels, and with cymbals, and with trumpets. When they came to the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him, because he put his hand to the ark. And there he died before God. And David was displeased, because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. Wherefore that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? So David brought not the ark home to himself to the city of David, but carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months. And the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. These same verses or this record is recorded in the book of Samuel as well. And I started reading there and then came across the 1 Chronicles 13 and the Holy Ghost made me notice something that's recorded here that's not recorded in Samuel. And that is the fact that in the book of Samuel it just simply states that the ark of God remained in the house of Obed-Edom 3 months. But in 1 Chronicles 13, it is recorded in verse 14 that the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months. And so the Lord began to stir in my heart toward revival in the home. I believe that what we have recorded here is a revival that takes place in the house of Obed-Edom. It is a manifestation of the presence and the power of God in a man's house among his family. It doesn't take place at the temple. It doesn't take place in the tabernacle. It does not take place among the congregation of the people of God, but it takes place inside the house and among the family of Obed-Edom the Gittite. Now, in my study, in the best that I can understand, many commentators have different views about Obed-Edom. I don't know that it really makes that much of a difference, but just in going off what the Bible says, I'm leaning toward and have persuaded in my heart tonight that Obed-Edom is not of the children of Israel. The Bible used the title Gittite, and the word Gittite means of the inhabitants of the land of Gath. It is that place where Goliath was from. We read in 1 Samuel when that champion of the Philistines comes out that he is titled Goliath of Gath. In another one of the writings it says that he is Goliath of the Gittite or of the land of Gath. So it is quite a possibility that Obed-Edom is a Philistine by nation. And so in being so, he really has no idea about God or the things of God, but he's fixing to find out really quick what a blessing it is to have a manifested power and presence of God to abide in his house. I want to say, we as we know it, and I'm not being a pessimist, God can do whatever he wants to do. He's God. But I do understand that God will not work or bless over sin. God will not go where he's not desired. And so I'm inclined to believe that we will never see a nationwide revival in our day. We probably will not see a statewide revival in our day. Our leaders do not want God, and they have made it very clear and apparent that they do not want him. We probably will not see a countywide revival or maybe even a communitywide revival. And in these days that we're living in, where so many of the people of God want other things greater than they want the power of God, I'm inclined to believe that we may be past the age of really seeing a churchwide revival. But what's been on my heart, it's the fact that whether anybody else has revival, you can have it in your home by yourself, in your family. You can have a true old time Holy Ghost revival in your home. In reality, revival begins at home. For what goes on in the house of God
It's just a manifestation of what has already been going on at your house. And that's why that we, and I'm including myself, that's why we at many times come into the house of God and it's just dead and dry because it's been dead and dry at our house. But then there are those occasions, and I'm not talking about working something up or earning God's favor, but you, it is an apparent thing. When it's been good at your house, it'll be good at the church house. I'm glad there is a way to still have revival in our day. We read about this man by the name of Obed-Edom, and I won't keep you very long tonight. I don't feel like I have a whole lot, but it's been a burning in my heart today. We have this man by the name of Obed-Edom, and if he is a Philistine, he has no idea much about God. He's probably heard in the past about how God used this little boy named David to whoop their champion who stood over 9 feet tall. They probably heard the stories. See, the Bible said that they had not inquired after the ark all the days of Saul. So it's a great likelihood that David had never seen the ark. He was just a young boy when Saul had already been in power quite a while. So there's a great likelihood that David's generation had never seen the manifested presence and power of God. I don't know about you, but that's a ringing bells in my heart about our church age. We're raising a generation that quite possibly has never seen the true manifested presence and power of Almighty God in the church. But he's heard about it. No doubt David has heard stories, probably from his father in his young days, about how the ark of God was stepped in by the priests bearing it into the waters of Jordan, and the waters were cut off and they crossed over on dry ground. There's probably plenty of stories about what was inside the ark, that when they rose up and tried to contest the fact that Aaron was God's man, that God gave them a choice and said, cut you down some branches and cast them down, and Aaron's rod budded before them all, and God put his approval on him, and they put that bud, the rod that budded, in the ark, and the pot of manna in the ark, and the broken tables in the ark. And there's probably all kinds of stories, but David desired to see it for himself. We've heard all kinds of stories. And I'm going to tell you, I'm 30, soon to be 31 years old, if the Lord lets me live till next month. They were asking me tonight, and I had to think about it just a minute, to be honest with you, because that's how my mind is. But they asked me tonight before service how long that I'd been preaching, and it dawned on me that this month marks 14 years since the Lord called me and I surrendered to Him. And in those 14 years, I'm not boasting and bragging. There have been a lot of wasted years, a lot of wasted time, but I've seen a few things, and it leaves a longing in my heart, and I see more than I have seen, and I don't want my girls growing up like David did, not knowing what it's like, and I see the power and the presence of God move in. Amen. David remembered all them stories. And God, there's one thing I understand. People harp about not looking back, not dwelling in the past, but there's one thing about looking in the past, what it'll do. It'll desire, put a desire and a hunger in you to have some of what they had. And I believe that's what stirred David. He wanted to have some of what them before him had, experienced the presence and the power of God. And so he set out to get it, but he went to get it the wrong way. We got a lot of people, and I remember an old preacher preaching and saying this, and it stuck with me, that there are people in our generation that want to have revival, but they don't know how. That's where David was. He wanted to the Lord to revive the power in among the people of God again, but he did not know how to get it. And he didn't take the time to find it out. And that's our problem in this day. We want some quick put together scheme or plan on how to have revival. That's why there's so many books. If you go to the bookstore and look it up, there's so many about how to have revival. And the problem is, I read it in verse number 1, David's first mistake was the Bible said he consulted with the leaders and the captains, but never says anything about him consulting with God or God's man. And I'm afraid that's our problem in this day. We want to follow man's recipe or man's God. God's the one that sends revival. Man cannot bring revival. As much as I love Brother Oakley, and as far as I can tell, he's one of my best friends in this world. But as much as I love him, he'll not bring revival with him and carry it in his pocket and a gift to us. But it'll take God to give revival in these days. And so if revival comes from God, ought we not to take the time to consider and search and find out what God said about how to have revival? See, just like it was in David's day, God had an order on how to handle the ark. And God has an order in our day about how to handle the presence and the power of God. Man's hands could not touch it. It was too holy for man to have anything to do with it. And I'm telling you, God's power is still in 2020 too holy for man to have any claim or any stake in it. He'll not share his glory with anybody or anything else. And that's why we can't have a revival in this day. We want to put our hands in it too much. We've been convinced, and I'm just preaching tonight to me and everybody else that's here. This is what God put on my heart. I don't know about you, but I'm inclined to believe you do. But I'd like to have revival in my house. I'd like to have the power of God manifested again in my house, wouldn't you? All of us would. And so if we do, we ought to go after it again. David made a mistake. David had good intentions. And I know this was said in Sunday school a couple of Sundays ago, but I need to reiterate it. God don't honor good intentions. God honors the right way, and that's the only way. David had good intentions to bring the ark home. And in Scofield's Bible, it does say at the heading, doing the right thing the wrong way. And there's a lot of churches and a lot of preachers, and I'm not their judge, I'm just being honest, that we're doing the right thing the wrong way. They built that new cart. And I'm just reading between the lines here. Probably didn't spare any expense on building that cart. It's probably the most beautiful cart in all the land. Probably worth more than some of the houses they lived in. He got two of the best cattle to pull, the best oxen to pull that ark. But it didn't make a difference. That's not the way that God said for it to be done.
That's right.
We can come in and we can sing all the right songs. And we can dress right, and we can have a good man of God, and all of that, and it still falls short of being revival. It must be done God's way. And it must begin in me. The old writer said, and it was mentioned too, the old song, Lord, send a revival and let it begin in me. That's where it starts. Revival is not a collective thing. It's an individual thing. And when several individuals get it, then it becomes collective. David, in his good intentions, took that cart down there and got the ark, put it on the cart, and set out. And everything looked right. They were praising, They were singing. They were doing everything that looked right, but it still was not the way that God intended. And when things are done the way that God does not intend for them to be done, it always produces harm somewhere down the line. I don't know how far they got. I don't know how many steps they took. I don't know how long on their journey. But the Bible said they came to the threshing floor of Chidon. And that would have been on a steep mountain that was in the highest part. And when they got across the peak of that mountain, the oxen stumbled. And Uzzah, with good intentions, put forth his hand to steady the ark so it wouldn't fall off the cart. As soon as he touched the ark, God killed him. All because that was against God's way. And now I'm not here tonight to preach that God's going to kill somebody if revival's not done the way God wants it. But I'm going to tell you what it did. Let's go beyond Uzzah dying. It hindered a group of people from having the power of God when they could have had it. For the Bible said that David was displeased. The word displeased means literally he was grieved on the inside. It broke his heart. And he said, how can I bring it home to me? In our terminology, David said, if this is how it's going to be, I'll never get it home again. We look in our day and we look at all the bad. And we look at the day we're living in. We look at the shape the world's in. And we look at the efforts that Christians have made before us. And they fell short because they've not done it the way God said for it to be done. And what it's produced in our day is a grieving of the heart of the people of God. And it's almost convinced us that we cannot have it, but we can. And so David carries it to the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And so here's the way God put it in my heart, and I'm done tonight. If Obed-Edom was a Philistine, David was not his king. And David really had no authority over him. And so David did not make Obed-Edom keep the ark. But apparently, Obed-Edom welcomed David into his house. And I'm going to tell you that I understand that parallels, they run for so long and then pick up somewhere else and run. And I understand that David in the first part of the chapter would be a type and a picture of the church and those doing with good intentions, trying to do what's right but doing it the wrong way. But I feel like in my heart, somewhere in between Uzzah dying and him carrying the ark to Obed-Edom, he becomes a type and a representation of the Holy Ghost that brings with him the power of God. And so if we're going to have revival, we're going to have to welcome him in the house. And David says, would you be, I don't believe David forced anything. I'm just preaching tats on my heart. I don't think David said, now you're going to keep it whether you want to or not. But I think he said, would you be willing for us to let this ark park here and rest at your house till we can go back home and figure out what to do so what just happened don't happen again. And in my heart, the Lord got to working in my heart. And I wonder how many other, I don't know, it ain't in there, but maybe it's in there. I wonder how many others David might have went to and said, would you let the ark rest here? Uzzah just got killed because he touched it, and I don't know how to get it home. I've got to go home and figure it out, read and study and pray and seek God, and then I'll come back and get it when I figure it out. And them say, oh no, I don't want it here. I don't want anything to do with it. And they turned him down and he had to go down the road. But here's a man that don't really know anything about God, but something inside him says, take it, it'll be okay. And Obed-Edom says, yes, I'm willing to let it stay here. I wonder tonight, are you willing to let the power of God abide in your house? He said, yeah, I'll just leave it. His wife, now I'm not throwing off on anybody tonight, but his wife probably pulled him to the side and said, now honey, didn't you just hear what he said? That thing killed a man just down the road. And he said, honey, I don't understand it, but there's something down on the inside of me that says, let the ark stay here. It will be okay. And maybe one of his boys walked by and said, daddy, did I hear right that thing killed a man and you're going to park it in the barn? And he said, son, something inside me says, just let it stay here. It will be okay. You can believe what you want to. I don't know where they parked it. They might have parked it in the barn with the oxen in a dry place. But about a few weeks passed by, and so I don't know how he got it there, but it's in my heart that he got it from the barn to the living room. And he said, if it's going to be this good, it ought not to stay in the barn, it ought to be in the middle of the house. I'm telling you, if the power of God's so good, it ought not to just dwell on the outskirts. It ought to be the very center of everything that goes on in our house. And this man, that as far as I can tell, if he is a Philistine and don't know anything about God except what rumors he's heard, he gets a head-on collision and he witnesses how blessed it is to have the power of God at his house. And I'm just going to take the Bible at face value. The Bible said in verse 14, and the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months. And the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. You say, what do you think that means, preacher? I think it means the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all he had. I think if he planted a row of corn and the people next door got 16 ears a row, he got 32. I think it meant that if he had oxen and the one beside had one, his oxen had twins. I think it means that if they had money in the bank and it drawed 5%, his drawed 10. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying God blessed him and all that he had. And I think it went way beyond physical blessing. I'm telling you tonight, we're not. It's not in my heart, and I don't believe it's in yours. I have no trouble tonight believing I'm preaching to folks that are like-minded with me about this meeting coming up. I don't want to just have 3 nights of having them any we have and just close it off and go to the house and forget everything we heard and everything go back to normal. I'm not interested in normal. We've been normal too long. But I'd like to have God pull in the house and park in the middle and have revival again. And I'm not wanting to have revival so my garden will do better and so my bank account will grow and so all these things that people talk about will happen. But I'm going to tell you, I believe while the ark was parked in the house that Obed-Edom and his wife got along better than they ever had. I think the children listened and obeyed better than they ever had. I believe there was peace and contentment in the house of Obed-Edom. I don't believe anything went wrong. I don't believe there any worry, any dread, or any fear. You say that's a fairy tale. But no, that's revival. And it can be had in this day. But are you willing to let the ark park in your house? Lord, help us. Could it be? Oh, I don't want to kid it right here, but it's on my heart.
Could it be that in order to make room for the ark in his house, he had to get rid of a few things? And maybe he didn't understand, and his wife may not have understood, and his children may not have understood why all them things had to go. Maybe they weren't such bad things, but something down inside of Obed-Edom said they got to go to make room for the ark. And Obed-Edom said, it's been so good. If these things have to go, they can go so the ark can stay here. I don't know about you tonight, but I told the Lord that whatever need to go. Now, I'm not standing up here trying to be some super spiritual Christian because I ain't. But it's in my heart to have revival. I really, 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 really want to have it. Probably about worse than I've ever wanted one in my life. And I told the Lord, whatever it is that has to go, it can go. As long as the ark can stay parked. Don't fall out with me here. But if the TV has to come off the mantle and go out in the yard, it can go. I'm not saying that's what it has to be. But if that's what it comes down to, I'd rather have revival than to have it anyway.
Yes, brother.
If some times have to change, if some activities have to change, if some hobbies have to go, I know it's not popular, but I'm preaching on how to have revival. We got to be willing to do whatever it takes to make room for the ark. It's the only thing that will work in these days. Having the ark in our house, the presence of God, the power of God is the only hope our children have. We preached last Wednesday and God manifested himself and folks did business in the altar and probably more should have. But that's between us and God, about seeking God for our family, our homes, our children, our friends. This is it tonight. This is what we need. When we put our order in and ask God for his presence and his power, and the ark by the Holy Ghost comes rolling into our front yard, what are we going to do then? When the Lord pulls in the yard at your house and says, all right, did you mean business? I've brought the ark, I've brought the power, I've brought revival. Will you make room for the ark? I wonder if some of them along the way, if they did ask others before they got to Obed-Edom, I wonder if their excuse was, I just don't have any room for it. I just don't have a place. If I put the ark in here, I'll have to get rid of some things that I love. I'll have to get rid of some things that I'm not ready to get rid of. And so David did not tarry. He went on to the next house. I'm afraid in these days that I can look back in my life and have been in meetings that could have been revivals, but we just didn't have room for God in the house. He was parked in the yard, and if we'd have just made the room, he'd have come on in. But there's just something else. Whether we said it with our lips or not does not matter. Down on the inside, there was something we would not let go of to make room for God. And I'm going to tell you something, and I'm not being mean. I'm being honest, preaching from my heart tonight, and you know that. If you'll not make room for him, he'll go to the next house and find somebody that will. I want to make some room for him. I want my children to know what it's like to be around the presence of God. Now, I'm not saying they never have, but I want him to abide. It's not just come for a little while and go and then come. The Bible said it remained at the house of Obed-Edom for 3 months. And I'm going to tell you something. If we have revival, I don't mean just a series of meetings or a series of services. But if we have revival, it'll hang around a while. It'll still be going on after the preacher has to get in his car and drive back to Kentucky. Revival will still be going on. And we may not know after 3 nights or 4 nights or 5 nights even what revival has meant yet. It may be weeks down the road or months down the road that the benefits of making room for the power of God becomes manifest and we enjoy the fact that God will bless what we have. Will you have revival in your home? Do you want revival in your home? As we stand all over the house tonight, how about it in your heart?